Hi, today is June 27th, 2021. This is Mobile News Podcast 368. We're mostly going to talk about Windows 11. A little bit, and maybe more than a little bit, about the Amazon Echo Buds, which I bought on sale. But at any rate, I'm Kyle Gosselwart, my good friend John Westfall. Hello, John.
Hello. Yeah, I want to hear. So I did not do anything for Prime Day this year. Okay. I did not celebrate it in the commercialized way that it is. I did see a very funny post on, I forget, I think it was McSweeney's that was talking about, we've lost the true spirit of Amazon Prime Day, you know, because it's become so commercialized. Yeah. But I did not participate this year. But I'm curious. It sounds like you did participate with the Echo Buds.
Yes, I think the Echo Buds are normally around the $120 price range, or $110, somewhere around there. And quite honestly, that's above my threshold of pain for something I don't need, but I'm curious about. On Amazon Prime Day, however, it dropped down to, I think it was $70. And that was just at my threshold of pain, where like, do I really want to spend money? But it's not a tremendous amount of money. So I said, yeah, sure, let's go try it. And I should note that I'm using AirPods Pro right now, and they're great. But, you know, I was Echo Bud curious.
Echo curious. It's, Echo curious. You know, it's like an orientation sort of description, you know?
Yeah. So I bought a pair. It arrived on Friday. And I'll tell you about some of my trials and tribulations with it after its arrival. But let me get to the good parts first, and then we'll get to, you know, the trials and tribulations. So the good, with the ear tips that ships on the buds themselves, which are medium size, it fits reasonably well. And it does come with four sizes, unlike the AirPods. So it does have an extra large, which is oddly enough too big for my ears. So I put the changed out the medium. I'll tell a story about the medium and why I changed it out. So it fits reasonably well. It's reasonably comfortable. Not as comfortable as the AirPods, interestingly enough. But it does fit better, I thought. And I was going to say there's no ear fit test, but it turns out there is. So I'm going to, can I do a strikeout on this? I'm not sure. There's no strikeout. So I'll just say wrong in our notes.
You can just take out the word no.
But its test doesn't make me feel bad like Apple's test, which makes a value judgment on me and tells me, no, your ear is not the right
fit. Your ears are just not designed for this.
You're just a big ear hole, you know.
Yeah.
Echo Buds test says fair. You're fair. It's not good, not excellent fit, but it's a fair fit. You know, it's judgmental, but not negative. And so I said, I appreciate that. It has a USB-C charging port. It does have a case like the AirPods Pro that you place the buds in there and it charges them up. So that's pretty easy. USB-C. And I have to go check now. Yeah, my AirPods Pro USB-C. And the sound quality is okay, but nothing special, especially if you've listened to AirPods Pro. They're okay, you know. The AirPods Pro, I think, are good. I'm not an audiophile, so I won't say they're great, because I don't know if that for the fact, but they're good enough for me. I'm pretty happy with AirPods Pro sound. Okay, the bad. Testing it with a Windows 10 PC, the microphone, it sounded like I was really far away. And so I bought them to use with Microsoft Teams, by the way, on my Windows 10 laptop for work, because it's getting warm here. I don't have air conditioning where I am often. And my ears are getting sweaty, TMI, sorry. And I thought, well, if I got a pair of Echo Buds, I'll just dedicate them to the Windows 10 laptop and I'll use that instead. Well, that's not going to work because, I'll get to why. But getting them paired just to try it with Teams was a nightmare. I pressed a charging button on the charging case, but unlike the AirPods Pro case, which... You know, you pop open the button and you push your thumb down on the connect button and it's pretty easy, right? Well, the connect button on the Echo Buds case is so close to the lid, what do you call that thing? Not a latch, but the connector that flips up and down that I kept pushing it down. It won't connect with the case top down. And so you got to physically put your finger in the way so you don't push the case top down while you press the connect button. So that was number one. Number two, and you know, I was gonna I originally wrote this as a ding against the Echo Bud specifically, but really it's true. Anytime you pair a Bluetooth audio device with Windows 10, it shows up as two devices. Hmm. One says audio, usually, in parens, and the other doesn't. But for some reason, on my Windows 10, that's my work laptop, I should note, the Echo Buds show up with no audio in parens, and there's a whole bunch of bogus-looking entries in below it. And if you don't scroll down, you won't see the second entry, which says Echo Buds audio. And that's the one you got to click. All right. So that was pretty annoying. And pairing it with iOS and Android device was also annoying because you really have to have the Alexa app installed and running. Unlike in the AirPods, you just kind of put them near your iPhone, click the button, stuff happens. Because, you know, it's all Apple, right? It's the same ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
I think it disabled my Amazon Echo Flex at one point during the setup for my earbuds. The Echo Flex is a tiny Amazon Echo that you can, you know, just has, you plug it into the wall. It's like a wall wart. And it's wonderful, by the way. I stick them around the house so I can walk around and ask questions without having anything in my ears. But at any rate, so you got to have them connected. You got to have the app on your device to just do anything. That turned out to have a silver lining. Okay, now getting to why this didn't turn out to work the way I wanted it to work. So I plug it as I test it with Windows 10. Okay, fine. I've got audio. I can record. It's audio's record microphone quality is awful. So I just, you know, switch to a regular mic for that on my Logitech camera actually, and I fire up Teams, and Teams is just unhappy as all get out. It starts flickering and all kinds of stuff. And when it's already paired. I do get it, you know, recognized within Teams. When I do a test call, it freezes Teams. Not only does it freeze Teams, but when I exit Teams, as in shutting down the app, it has mm-hmm. about 4 or 5 instances of Teams running in background, which I think is normal. But one of those instances kept the test call alive. So it's ringing, ringing, ringing. And I have to go, Control-Alt-Delete and use the task manager to kill the Teams app to get the ringing to stop. It was like a grade Z horror movie where there's, you know, ringing and you don't know where it's coming from and you have to go search for it and destroy it. So basically it doesn't work with Teams. It just doesn't. So I paired it with an iPad and it's okay. That's where I did the audio test. I have to say, I do like having Alexa in the earbuds. It's actually, you know, it's Alexa's smarter than Siri, right? Sorry, Siri. But Siri's dumb. And Alexa's pretty smart. And it's actually kind of nice to just be able to, you know, say the keyword and ask questions, you know, weather and so forth. And I would put that under the pro. Okay. The other problem is that every now and then, Echo Buds says it's dropped, like, I don't have a connection, or I'm not, you know, this. But it is connected because I'm still getting audio. So that's really puzzling. Okay. So the silver lining, which really should go under the pro, is, as I said, the minus was you have to use the Alexa app to pair it. The plus is you have to use the Alexa app to pair it. So if you have turned on the, you know, Find My kind of feature, you can use the app to go find your earbuds, to go your Echo Buds. And, of course, less than 24 hours after I got it, I lost one. It fell out of my ear. I hadn't switched to the large ear tip yet. It fell out of my ear while I was lifting something, and it fell into somewhere I didn't see. So I was able to use the app to have it buzz and located the earbud. So happy ending. Any rate, is it worth $110, $120? I would still recommend spending twice that much and buying AirPods Pro.
Yeah, but it's $70, it's not bad. Well, that's what I was thinking about as you were talking. I was kind of comparing the Echo Buds to the AirPods and looking at the price point. And, you know, it sounds like for $120, you can get, okay, your Echo Buds. Yeah. Or for, you know, $130 more at $249 or $259, you can actually get really good AirPods Pro.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah. Because it just sort of sounded like at the beginning there, you just kept making comparisons to the AirPods going, you know, this is not as good as the AirPods. Now,
right.
The big killer feature, of course, is if you want Alexa versus Siri, So I could see that act that you know, being what you would go for the Echo Buds for if you were really into the Alexa ecosystem. I do find it kind of funny because they tout privacy in their thing and they say, well, you can turn off the microphones in the app. And I'm thinking, well, that's assuming I trust that the app actually turns off the microphones when I hit turn off microphones. Maybe I'm just jaded like that, but it's still a software switch. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. At 70, they're, if you, especially if you don't already have AirPods, at 70, they're a good entry level AirPod type thing.
And they work. And they work reasonably well with Android. I think AirPods do too. But, I mean, you can get the Alexa app, you know, for Android, obviously, and it works fine there. And, you know, Amazon itself makes some Android-type devices with their Fire devices, which of which I have one. I haven't tried it with that. I don't know if it can do multiple pairings, by the way, like the AirPods can with iOS devices. That's where the AirPods really shine, is if you have more than one Apple device, you can just switch without repairing. Like, I'm using my AirPods for listening to John right now. With my MacBook Pro, and I, you know, I also have it paired with an iPad and an iPhone, and it's just not a problem. It just switches relatively effortlessly. So I haven't tried multiple devices. That's the next thing. So, you know, out of 5 stars, I give it, you know, 3. It's not. I'm not sending it back. I'm not going to get a refund. I'm going to use them. They're kind of nice to have around, and I, you know, I can wear them in places where I might feel afraid of losing my AirPods, which is almost every place outside of my home. So, because my AirPods do fall out. Okay, next up. And we only have 2 topics this week, unless John wants to add something later. Windows 11 was announced last week on June 24th. I was really disappointed they didn't announce Windows 11, the cloud PC version. Now, there is a, I guess, Windows and Azure thing, but that is resource-based charge. And I was looking for a fixed-price cloud PC version. Hopefully, you know, I assumed it was going to be enterprise, and that would really help out an enterprise a lot to have a cloud PC that you can use, you know, especially during teleworking when people are at home using your personal devices and you want to secure it and all of that. A cloud PC Windows would have been great, but that didn't get announced with a fixed monthly price for, you know, say $15 a month per seat or something. But Windows 11 got announced, and my initial reaction was meh. But the first thing I want to say is, so I downloaded the Windows 11 PC Health Checker. Or it's just a general PC Health Checker from Microsoft, which is on their Windows 11 page. And to test if my 2019 HP Envy 360 could get upgraded to Windows 11. And the answer, according to this PC Health at a glance, is this PC can't run Windows 11. The processor isn't supported for Windows 11. You know, and I said, what? So I went to look at the list of processors that Microsoft itself lists as supported processors, and the AMD Ryzen 5, I think I have, is supported. So I went looking a bit more, and it turns out that there's a place called WindowsLatest.com. I really don't know who that is, but he or she reports that the Windows 11 PC Health Checker is wrong, basically. And Microsoft apparently has said this. I haven't found that quote, so I can't verify that. But apparently Microsoft has admitted to this, that PCs that can be upgraded are being incorrectly labeled as this PC can't run Windows 11. So we'll have to wait and see. And if you're wondering if it's a TPM 2.0 problem, I checked. You know, you can check whether your PC can run Windows 10 PC has TPM 2.0 by, I think you run like terminal mode and you type in, what do you type in? TPM.cpl or something like that. And I'll run a little control panel app that gives you your TPM status. And mine says it's 2.0 and ready for use. So I'm not sure what the problem is. A TPM is trusted platform. So I don't know. I meet all the other requirements. RAM, you know, all that kind of stuff. Processor, not sure.
So tell me, what Android apps are you dying to use on your Windows PC?
Oh, yeah. So that's one of the big ones, right? But before we get to that, I would want to say one more thing that bothers me about it. Well, it doesn't bother me personally, but for other people. The Home Edition apparently needs to be activated over an internet connection. And it doesn't say what kind of bandwidth you need, but, you know, there are a lot of rural areas in the U.S., certainly in Hawaii, I know for sure, that just doesn't have broadband internet connection. So if you don't have an internet connection in your home, and that's not unusual. You can't activate Home Edition. But anywho, getting back
to
your question.
Well, yeah, that is bizarre Microsoft-ish sort of stuff too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am. So I've read a few things about Windows 11, and it seems like we all come back to the five things that you've kind of identified. You know, Android app support, Snap layouts,
yeah,
Teams widgets, and yeah, a refreshed UI. So
Right. Obviously
the one that it seems most people are talking about is Android app support.
Yeah.
Hence my question, what Android apps are you dying to run on Windows 11?
Okay, and this is just me, okay? Because during the pandemic, I started to regularly post Instagram. Don't ask why. I don't know. I was kind of like, not exactly trapped. I didn't go very many places, but I said to myself, self, you live in Hawaii. It's actually kind of pretty here. Maybe other people would enjoy photos from here. So I started posting photos. And sometimes, you know, I'll say, I remember an old photo I took, and I'd like to post that. But it's hard to do on a phone. To go, you know, to a photo you took 5-6 years ago. It's really easy to go through Google Photos, download it, and maybe, you know, punch up the thing on your PC or Mac. So I was resorting to using either Chrome in dev mode, telling it it's a phone, and then going to Instagram on the browser and doing that, or using my Chromebook with the Android version of Instagram and posting using that. So that's the only thing. As a Chromebook user, and I've been a Chromebook user for 4 years now, I think, one of the big deals when I got my first Chromebook was, wow, I can run Android apps on it in production mode or late beta. So mm-hmm. This was cool, you know? And I, after some fussing around, I don't use anything. The Chrome browser, you know, just works with everything in Chromebook. And it'll also work with everything on a Windows 11 device, presumably, or Edge at least. So what do I really need, you know, that... I don't know. That's only Instagram.
And that's exactly where I'm going with this line of questioning, because I cannot for the life of me, I can't even think of an iOS app that I want to use on Mac OS.
Mm.
And arguably, there's more cohesion between those ecosystems. In fact, there are some direct ports in some of the apps I have where people are reusing their Xcode code to create a Mac version of an app that was native to iOS, and they work more or less okay. But this is being touted as like the big deal that Microsoft is doing, and I can't for the life of me figure out why this is something everyone is excited over, because it just seems like unless you are really going to use tablet mode in Windows 11, and they didn't give us anything to say that tablet mode is going to be more attractive in Windows 11 than it's
actually,
been
there is
in
no
Windows
tablet
10.
Mode.
Well, yeah. In Windows 10, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows XP, Windows Tablet PC Edition.
Yeah.
None of that seems to make a big difference. So I don't get why Amazon Android App Store is a huge deal.
I'll tell you why, because it sounds cool. I can, from personal experience, right? When I first read back in 2016 that you were able to, I think it was in the alpha early beta test, and I didn't have a Chromebook yet, but that you could run Android apps on a Chromebook, I said, huh, that's a good reason to get a Chromebook. I could really do stuff, you know, and, you know, I'm not sure why. And John has returned.
Yeah, blame shortcut keys. I was trying to use the shortcut key in Finder to go to my home directory, and it's apparently the same shortcut key that Skype uses for Hangout.
So it is an overloaded function, and it overloaded in the wrong
one.
Yes. anyway, I was just saying that, you know, on the Chrome, it just sounded like a really, really good idea. And I thought, I can run the Android version of, you know, Word doc and Excel. But guess what? The web version works great in a desktop, you know, browser. And Chrome OS's Chrome is desktop quality. It is desktop Chrome. You know, it's from Google. It's awesome. So it just didn't need all that
stuff. Yeah, it just seems very, very strange to me. I get it's cool, but I don't know. I'm not even, you know, interested in running iOS apps in macOS on an M1 MacBook. That's why I don't own an M1 MacBook. I don't care to. So it just seems like you want to be using the correct tool for the correct platform, and I don't think we're there yet with mobile apps on desktop platforms.
Yeah, I gotta agree. And I will say, I did buy an M1, mostly because I wanted one. Is that a good reason? Mm-hmm. But anyway,
oh yeah,
I was intrigued by the idea of running iOS apps on a MacBook, and the one app I wanted to run, and I don't think it does, is Camera Plus, which is the app I most use to, you know, correct my photos and so forth before I post Instagram, for example, if I'm doing it from my iOS device. I don't think it runs on it. And the other one that doesn't run, but I was curious about, that is, by doesn't run an iOS app on a M1, is my favorite drawing tool for my daily doodle project, and that's Procreate. And Procreate said that they're not going to support it. Now, you know, the Macs are not touch, but I do have a one by Wacom tablet. It's like a $70 tablet by Wacom that works pretty well on it. But, you know, I can use it with other drawing applications, but unfortunately not Procreate, which is fine. You know, I understand their rationale. It's not a deal killer for me. So really enjoying a Mac that doesn't, you know, burn my hands after I use Skype. Enjoying my M1. Mm-hmm. Eventually I'll switch. I don't know why I still use my MacBook Pro for recording these podcasts, probably habit. But yeah, I agree.
So then we have Teams coming natively, which they've started to add some of the features into the personal version, but still not not as many of the features that you have in the Office Enterprise. 365 Enterprise versions.
Yeah. I do wonder, though, if that means they're going to kill Skype Personal Edition. You know, Skype for Business, which used to be called Link, disappears in July next month. And so everybody, we turned off Skype for Business in May, I think, and to make sure everybody gets on Teams and, you know, we can get them on there cleanly. And if we had to fall back to Skype for a month, we could or two. But I think everybody made the transition nicely. But I do wonder, you know, John and I and all our, you know, guest panelists have recorded using Skype for almost every podcast except one or two where John had to, I think you used Zoom or something. I forget what you had to use.
Yeah, we did a couple of Zoom podcasts because we just had to for that purpose. Yeah, Teams could be, if they were to chock full the personal edition with features, I could see Teams being a compelling argument for Windows 11. Especially if they pull an Apple and open up Teams video calls to anyone with a link, then you could actually have what I would say is two competing video call systems that are both very compelling.
Well,
FaceTime and Teams.
Yeah, you can participate in a Teams video call without the app. You can use a browser, so that's not a big issue, I think. Like Linux.
But will that run on iOS?
Teams?
I mean the browser plugin. Teams runs, but
I don't know if you can
just send a link to someone on iOS that doesn't have Teams installed
on iOS. You know, I haven't tried that. We'd have to try that, I think. We'll test it out. Maybe I'll ask my daughter to test it with me or something. I don't think she has Teams on her phone, so I'm really I'm not concerned. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But I do think that Skype is going to go away. You know, what did they pay for Skype? $8 billion?
$8 billion. Yeah, it's about time to get rid of it.
It's going to go away.
And the other thing for Teams is, when are we going to get a switcher in Teams to be able to switch from personal to professional?
You can right now.
You can on macOS?
Oh, I don't know about macOS. I haven't tried it. I mean, I do use Teams on macOS, but I haven't tried that thing. On iOS, you can. Let me bring up Teams on iOS.
Oh, okay. There is that an add feature, personal account now.
Yeah. So if I... Yeah, my personal account is now part of my Teams option list. So I've got, like, you know, my enterprise account. I've got a couple of guest accounts on, like, you know, business partners that we work with. And then I've got my personal one. So that works on iOS right now. It works on Windows right now. I have not checked the macOS version. Mm-hmm. So we're
it does.
There.
So I'm on it right now, and can do it.
Okay.
So it opens it in a different window, which is a little strange, but it does work.
So for, I think, our next podcast, we should at least test using Teams. And I think one of the interesting side effects, if we switch to Teams from personal version of Skype, is that the chat window associated with whoever we add to our podcast is going to be persistent. And I know that because we've already tested some of that without doing the video calls. We already tested a group, personal edition teams with some other friends, and it's the chat has been persistent, so we know that works. I know one of our other friends asked, well, don't you lose access to chat after the voice conference, voice call or video call? And the answer is that happens in enterprise if you are not a, an authorized guest, and that is, you know, you have been put in as a guest account versus just, you know, dialing in for one call. So that doesn't seem to be the case when you use the personal. They're all the same teams, I should say. The app doesn't change, but when you use the personal version of the team service, the non-enterprise version, so that means we could have, you know, text chats going on in between podcasts with all our, you know, guest panelists, regardless of whether they're going to be on a particular audio recording session. So that'd be kind of fun. Let's go test that next time. Let's just do a 5-minute test with Teams, and if it works okay, we'll just continue on like that and start inviting friends that way. I am a little curious if you can. I think you can come in if you don't have a Microsoft account, but I'm not sure. But going back to Android and speaking of accounts, so you need to have a Microsoft account of some kind. You know, Outlook.com, Hotmail.com, one of those kinds of things to activate the Home Edition of Windows 11. And if you want to use the Android feature, you have to have an Amazon account. So you need to have two different accounts. One of them should buy the other. Amazon should buy Microsoft, and Microsoft should not. You know, they're too expensive. That can't happen. But it's kind of an interesting situation. Oh, you need to take that call, John?
Well, I'll be good. I'll call back.
Okay.
We're finishing up anyway. We're getting to all that there is we can really say about Windows 11.
Yep. So that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how people are happy with it. I guess the last thing I wanted, three things I want to mention. The start menu is going to go in the middle, just like on the Chromebook, which I find interesting. Snap tiled windows are coming back. Those of you who remember Windows 8. Was it Windows 8 or Windows Vista where the first snap appeared? Might have been Vista. Although Windows 8 was the real tiled version. Not excited about that. I always like overlapping windows. And the final thing is widgets.
Well, that is why it's Windows.
Yeah. And the last thing is widgets, which some of you might remember from Windows ME. You remember those, ActiveX widgets that were like security nightmares? And Vista. Oh, yeah. Didn't Vista have widgets too? Charms.
Yeah, we've tried widgets a number of times in Windows. We're even trying widgets right now on Mac OS, and it's not going as well as one might think. So who knows when widgets are ever going to take off on a desktop system.
Well, even iPad OS, you know, I don't really use the widgets all that much, and people want them, you know, on screen all the time. I don't really care. It just doesn't bother me or, you know, appeal to me one or the other. Anywho, short podcast, two topics, but that's about it. You got anything else?
No, I've been playing with a few random things on my devices with shortcuts and things like that, but nothing baked enough to talk about yet. Although I will be traveling over the next week and a half, 2 weeks, and so usually that's when some mobile thoughts come to mind. So on our next podcast in probably 2 weeks, I probably will have some mobile insights views that came to mind as some actual mobile views.
That sounds perfect. And then we'll try a Teams call at that time too and see how it shouldn't be an issue. The tool I use, which is called Audio Hijack from Rogue Amoeba. I've been using this since 2000 and when did I start this podcast? 8? Yeah, 2008. So I've been using this nearly 13 years in various forms. It can take audio streams from anything. It's not Skype specific, so it should work fine. And we'll give Teams a test. I'll install Teams on this thing today, and we'll try it out. Okay, so John will be off on a super secret mission, and we will regroup in a couple of weeks. And I'm trying to think. I don't think there are any other announcements I'm waiting for. Presumably you'll hear. Oh, one other thing. So there was some speculation that Android compatibility was only on Intel. That's apparently not true. The Intel, Intel Bridge technology that's being used works on AMD and ARM based processors too. So we'll see. I guess I can use the word hopefully. I'm kind of curious. I'll be curious to install Windows 11 on my laptop, which, you know, I basically boot once a month to get updates on. Alrighty. This has been MobileViews Podcast. I have the wrong one here. It says 368. 368. Did it again. 368. And we will talk to you next time.